Boker Tov, good morning. Welcome back. Everyone is away. Bezat Hashem, I want to invite everyone tomorrow. We're making a siyum. We're finishing the book of the Chavetz Chaim. We're having our final class tomorrow. We're going to start a new book Monday morning, Bezat Hashem. So we're going to have a siyum. Yehi Shem, in the Javon Minyan, whoever wants to come. Today's class should be for the Refuah Shlama of all the Chalim. בכללם, חמדה ברכה ודוז'נה ימי חנוכה ברבקה שרה בנמונים שלו מוסרה דוד מרחל יפה ודבר ברבקה ועד יכול ברבקה ודסה שלו מוסר פרה מניה משה בחנה יפה ונמיריה מיהודה מניפה חייסה בספר הרבקה וחנה סבחה במלכה מירה מרחל ודוז בנמיניה חנה ליאן בנום רחל יסה ודמי יסה וחנה גבר גדו בברכה תן ועשר יצחה בנעודי יעקב מדבר מלכה לשבה בנתר היום מניפה יוסף מדברה שלו ממשה בפנינה יוסף בן יפה דניה בן דינה שמחה בן דעה אפרים מדעה חי לידי בדעה מרחי לידי בדעה חוקר דעה שאול בן כלידו כלידו ולהבדיל ונשמע דוד בן אליהו בנימין ונשכן לגבי ידר מדי פריים שמעון ונשאל בינה מכה בדן בועז בן אברהם ודינה בת אהרון. Before we start again, tomorrow we have a siyum. The sponsorship for breakfast is still available if anybody wants big zechut. Okay, the second to last class in the Chavetz Chaim, the second to last class will be about financial commitments. If let's say a person is going into a relationship with someone, or they want to go into a relationship with a girl, or a guy for that matter, and someone comes over to you and wants to tell you about the person's financial situation, or the family's financial situation, until what extent are they allowed to tell you? What are they not allowed to tell you? Who is allowed to tell you? In front of who are they allowed to tell you? There's a lot of questions that come up, and this is something that's very practical. Let's say you are somebody who is a regular person, and you are one to go and go out with someone. You don't know necessarily their financial status, right? Are you allowed to ask someone? What are you allowed to ask? So the Chavetz Chaim says, he talks about it a little bit more in depth, and he says, let's say for example, you're going out with someone, and the person who you're going out with, the future father-in-law says, if you marry my daughter, I will promise you X, Y, and Z. I will promise you this property, I'll promise you giving you a $20,000 marriage gift, $10,000 per child. You know, it's funny, I was away, I met someone, it's a nice rich guy, eh? I met someone when I was away. So he was the owner of a restaurant. It was very funny. He told me, he said, my daughter got married, and I told her, I give you $5,000 for the first grandchild. So he's like, I haven't seen her and her husband since. Like, they've been trying and trying and trying. It's still not succeeding. But he's like, it's a good incentive to give the child a lot of times. You give them a sum of money for them to bring children. He's like, I can't wait to have a grandchild. It was interesting. It was a funny Israeli guy. He was like, I'll give you $5,000 when you bring me my first grandchild. So he's giving them incentive. But so the Chavetz Chaim says that a person has to be extremely careful to know what he's allowed to say and what he's not allowed to say. Someone comes and asks you about a certain person. You're not allowed to give over information unless you know for sure that the information is true, right? This is a common thing that we've been going over for the past few months. But let's say you think you know something. You know a family by their name. You think you know, oh, I know the family, their name is like this, they're Najib, they're like that. I think they have this much money. How do you know? How do you know for sure? If you do not know for sure, al tiftach et picha. Don't open your mouth. There's no reason to open up your mouth if you don't know something for sure. That's number one important rule.
You say you think they're comfortable.
You can say you think you know whatever you want, but to tell someone factual things about a family, about a person, about someone, without knowing beferush, without knowing exactly, explicitly, because you had experience watching, seeing something along those lines. Even if you see, listen, this is the saddest part today. In today's generation, even if you see the guy walking around decked out. Yeah, it's Prada shoes, he's wearing Hermes, he's wearing this, wearing that, all over his body is decked out. He has a Rolex on his right, left arm, he's wearing, Cartier on his right arm, I need a damn. He's wearing all these brand names. Still, you cannot assume because of those things that this guy is a wealthy man or not. Why? In today's generation, the saddest part about it is people start wearing all these types of things so that they can fit in their friend groups, and not always can they afford it. It's the saddest part, is that they're forced to buy themselves a Range Rover, or buy themselves a Porsche, or buy themselves a this or a that. Why? Because if they don't, they don't fit in a certain friend group, but they can't even afford it. And they go into mortgage, and they go into this, into that. Why? Just so they can fit into a friend group. It's very sad. But that cannot be your defining reason to determine if this person is wealthy or not. So it's just a reminder in your head. Hey, just because I think I know this person, or I think I know because they wear this type of watch, or they look like this, or they wear that type of clothing, or this one guy I know, every Shabbat, someone I met far away, he said, wear this nice, nice suit. He decked out. Like, you could tell he's wearing a $3,000 suit, you know, with $1,000 shoes on. He walks into the kanisa. And you go and see the guy during the week, he wears like a t-shirt and like ripped shorts and like ugly shoes, and like you're like, what's going on? Like, he's very extreme. He dresses extreme for Shabbat, but for the week, he does. How can you determine based on what he wears for Shabbat what kind of wealth he has? You know? So I think it's an important matter to realize that a lot of times we judge people and we think we know a person's financial status just because we see the way they dress, but that's not supposed to be the determining factor. And this is more of a reminder to remind you, if someone's asking about a certain person, if you don't know explicitly, 100%, their financial status, do not open up your mouth. Now what if you do know? Let's say you're a good friend of someone, and you very well know they told you how much money they make, they told you what financial status they're at, and so on and so forth. And someone comes and asks you, they say, I want to marry someone who's in this type of financial status, right? And the person who's asking you is of the understanding that they're very wealthy, but you know that the person is not very wealthy. So in that type of situation, you would be required to tell the person, because that's something that is very important to them, that, hey, look, I know the person, they're a friend of mine, they're a great family, great person, and so on and so forth. I know that they make X amount of money. I know that they're, let's say, middle class. They're not, or let's say the other way around. Someone is looking for someone in the middle class, and you want to come and tell the person, this person is very wealthy, you should know that, right? Again, this shouldn't be a determining factor if a person should go forward in the relationship or not, because this is not, you know, all of the money and all the parnasat tova and all of the, you know, the blessing that comes in the world, it all comes from Hashem. So it could be today that person is not wealthy, and 10 years from now that person will be the most wealthy person in the world. And it could be the other way around. This person today is the most wealthy person in the world, and 10 years from now it'll be nothing. Right? Ben Chaim always tells us there was this person he knew who was very, very wealthy, one of the most wealthy people he knew, but he always walked around with gava, being full of himself, thinking he was the best of the best. Anyone who came and asked for charity, get out of my face, who are you? 5 years later, the guy ended his life. He got sick and was dying. He was dying in his bed with no money to his name. He lost all of his money. They took all the money away from him. He had not even a penny. He didn't have nice clothing. He didn't have nice housing. He had to sell his house, sell his car, sell his this, sell his that. He thought, oh, Mercedes, this, that. He had nothing to his name left, and he left the world like Rabbi Ben Chaim said, like a chatul. He left the world like a cat. Like a cat asking for help, you know? You think you have everything in the world. You think you have all the money in the world. You get full of yourself. And that's when Hashem says, listen, you're a peanut compared to me. I can take everything away in 1 second. Don't have gava. Don't be full of yourself. Just a side note. But the most important thing to focus about is when you know something and you think something will be for a constructive purpose, you can tell that person only what you know and only to them. You shouldn't, I always see this, people always say, no, I'm speaking constructively, I'm trying to tell this person something constructive, criticism, or even constructive criticism. You're trying to criticize someone constructively. Why are you constrict? You know, you're giving someone constructive criticism in front of someone else? Why do you need to know what I think you need to be better in, and why does he need to hear about it also? There's no need for anyone else around us to hear about you constructively criticizing someone, or you giving someone a constructive lashon hara, or telling him something you know about someone that they're going into a relationship with, for whatever reason. Nobody else needs to hear about that. And if somebody else is sitting in the room, you have no permission to say anything, even if you know for sure. You're only allowed to tell the person if it's for a constructive purpose, and you know 100% it's true, and you don't exaggerate in any way, but you're talking to them directly alone with nobody else around. And this is something that's so important. People don't realize this. They think, I can say whatever I want, whenever I want, to whoever I want, however I want. I walk around, or you know, like, I always say these type of things. You walk out of a minyan on Shabbat, and the rabbi spoke a little bit longer. Give a long speech. Rabbi speaks so long. Lashon hara. Lashon hara. Why? Even if you can explain it in a good way. He spoke so long. I love long speeches. Amazing. Wow, thank you for telling me. I'm going to go to his Zakanisan now. You can think about it in a good way. What was your intention? How did you say it? You said it with a bad face. So people understand that you're intending a negative. You're intending in a bad way. And not only that, I say a funny joke. I was once, there was a rabbi I asked. He always spoke very long Friday night. So I'm like, why do you speak so long Friday night? He says, no, I'm doing a mitzvah. What mitzvah? Mitzvah. People are falling asleep in the Kenny, so people want to go home. They're tired, long week of work. They want to get home to their family, Shabbat, the dinner, they had the late, and the summer's also, it's very long, right? We get home late. So he told him, he said, no, I speak long so that they take a little nap so that when they get home, they're full of energy. So he would give a long speech Friday night, everyone would fall asleep, everyone would get their naps, and they get home to their wives and kids full of energy. He's a mitzvah. It was a joke. But the idea is, a person has to realize that, first of all, not only is it important to make sure you don't say anything if you don't know for sure, but even when you know for sure, there are many aspects to knowing something for sure, when you're allowed to say and when you're not. And when it's about a chacham, tamei chacham, or a rabbi, you have to be extra careful, because they're carrying the words of Hashem. And Bezat Hashem, when we be a little bit more careful, we focus a little bit more, you pay one more second of attention to what you're about to say. You're speaking to someone, someone asks you about someone. Someone said, I heard someone did this, this and that. You think for a second, you will actually realize how much more Lashon Hara is spreading throughout the day than you thought before. Because we don't pay attention to it. When we start paying a little bit more attention to it, we'll realize that, and we'll be able to start holding ourselves back a little bit more. One time, you hold yourself back from speaking Lashon Hara, you will receive thousands times of blessing for that one time. One time you put yourself out there to speak Lashon Hara, Chas V'Shalom, the opposite. But if a person holds himself back, just one time speaking Lashon Hara, Hashem will bless him hundreds if not thousands of times. Can I get that? Have a great day, gentlemen.